Pray that your Spirit now would guide this meeting and that you would help Jesus Christ to be exalted in our midst. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now, probably most of you people that are sitting in the room here tonight have some sort of feelings towards marriage. If you don't, you are under 10 years old, all right? Your feelings about marriage could be very despondent because you think it is the world's biggest problem. They could be extremely fearful because most marriages end in disaster. Or you could be a very proud person and have nothing but feelings of ecstasy when you think about your marriage because you think that in your own self you possess all the strengths that God ever created in a human being and could not fail. You probably have a basic idea that you think marriage is. The Bible tells us a little bit about what marriage is. And the Bible tells us in many different places, many different things, that marriage is disaster and that it is absolute happiness. Marriage can be horrible. It can be drudgery and it can be absolute blessing. But what it was meant to be is written in this verse. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Okay? I want to explain one thing very quickly at the beginning. Because the subject of my talk tonight is Nikki. I do not honor Nikki tonight because she is a sinner. And without Jesus Christ, Nikki is on her way to hell to be judged for the sin she has done. Okay? If it sounds at all tonight like I am going to honor Nikki, remember this verse, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. God is the author of everything that is good. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, says, "The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If you have anything in life, or if you hope to get anything in life that is going to be a blessing, it is from God. If you think that yourself is going to be a blessing to a girl or to a boy, you have got some fearful repenting that you need to do. Unless the only way you think that is because you have seen God take you from a wicked person and step by step conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, Nikki didn't make herself. God was in the business of making girls for quite some thousands of years when he made Nikki. He had made a lot of very pretty ones. But he was bored on December 16th of 1983. Well, no, that was when she was born. On the day that she was created, he was bored. And I don't know what day that is. Probably nobody knows. And he got out his mixing bowl and his fanciest wooden spoon And he went to the gardens that grow right behind his throne. And he picked the best of all the ingredients that he could find. And he mixed them into a bowl. And when he was done mixing in all these ingredients, he ordered a truckload of sugar. And he poured the sugar in, bag after bag after bag after bag, and stirred it up until it was spilling all over the ground. And then he compacted it, touched it all over, and created a girl. Now, when you think of it that way, and then you're me, we got to go back to Proverbs chapter 18. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. On what basis did I get this girl? Was I worthy of her? Was I the best guy God had ever made? What did I do that gave me the opportunity to get Nikki? Now, the fact of the matter is, some of you guys out here that are married probably think that I'm mistaken in the things that I just said about Nikki. And you probably think that you married that girl. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You weren't worthy of her, Noah. You weren't worthy of Mary. You're a sinner. Aaron was not worthy of Ruth. You're a sinner too. But God gives every single one of us abundantly above all that we are ever worthy of. And there has never been a human being that has dipped his own fingers intentionally in rebellion against God and sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ who has ever been worthy of having a good marriage and a happy family. That goes for you girls too. You're not worthy. But we get what we are not worthy of because God loves us and He pours gifts into our lives. And if you guys have found a wife, or if you are going to find a wife, remember that. Remember that the girl that you are going to ask to marry you is a gift. God is in the business of giving gifts. Now, the good thing about it is, it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Because when God is in the business of giving gifts, He does not give junk. I know some people who love the fact that Dollar Tree exists. Because you can buy gifts for a dollar. It's a cheap way to do your duty to mankind. You know, when Christmas is coming up or birthdays are coming up and you really don't want to spend money on these people you love so much, it's nice to have Dollar Tree. Oh boy, God doesn't give gifts like that. Well, anyway, tonight I would like to recount some of the blessings that God has poured into my life. Yesterday was my wedding anniversary, 11 years. And February 2nd of 2002, 02-02-02, there was two of us. It was a fun day. In fact, it was a remarkably fun day. In fact, I don't even think I have the ability to describe what a fun day it was. It was 11 years ago yesterday. But I've been with Nikki a lot longer than 11 years. In 1994, when she was 10 years old, I lost my footing. I started to ski. I flipped. I fell on my head. And as I was telling Dan on Wednesday night, since that time, from the time she was 10 years old till the time she was 18, I watched and prayed. I watched and prayed. I think I did more watching than praying, but I did a lot of praying too. So me and Nikki have been friends for 18 years. But my relationship with Nikki actually goes back longer than that. Because right now Nikki is 29 years old. And in 1983, when she was born and she was just a little baby, I held her. When she was a little kid running around the house, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I used to hold her all the time. I never thought anything of it. It wasn't actually until she was 9 years old that I began to notice her. You know, the early bird gets the worm. So me and Nikki have had a lot going on between us for 29 years. And I don't know how much longer we're going to live. But I definitely think that if we live another 29 years, we're going to have a very fun life for the next 29 years. Because I do not look into myself or into Nikki for my confidence that marriage can be good. Because if it was based on me or her, it would have failed already. Because we just weren't that good of people. But I do believe that through the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Word of God, marriage has the ability to be one of the happiest, most blessed things on the face of the earth. So what is a successful marriage? You know, in some people's minds, a successful marriage is the fact that you made it till you died without divorcing, okay? If you are now 83 years old and you expect to die any day soon, and you're still married to your wife, you never cheated on her, and you aren't intending to get divorced at this point, your marriage was successful. Now, you might have not been very happy. You might fight on a daily basis. Maybe she doesn't yell at you as much anymore because she's getting old and her voice is weaker and she's tired. But, you know, things weren't very good, but we were successful. Okay, some people would say that was a successful marriage. And based on the fact that many marriages end in divorce, that sounds like success. But that's not success. If you think that a successful marriage is not only staying married all your life, but also not fighting with each other, being at peace. You know, she has her room, you have yours. That kind of thing. No fighting allowed in this house. Some people would say that's a successful marriage. I want to tell you what I think is a successful marriage. In the New Testament, Sarah is held up as a wife that was really a good one. And if you go back to the Old Testament and look at their marriage, when Sarah is in her 90s, Abraham is protecting himself and her because she is so beautiful, all the guys are going to steal her from him. That's a successful marriage. That's how your marriage should end. So, where did Nikki come from? I remember Nikki when she was 9 years old, and she was a stinker. She was a very selfish little girl, as most 9-year-old girls are. She She was not the nicest person in the world. She was cute, but she was not the nicest person in the world. And when she was 10, I stayed at her house for a couple of weeks. I can't remember how long. And I was rather appalled at this girl that I didn't know very well, how what a little worthless kid she was. She absolutely did nothing but sit around all day. She didn't work. I mean, it was just, she just didn't do a thing. Now, she probably did more than my sisters. I didn't say that. But she was just a lazy bum, and I couldn't believe it. And she fought with her sisters, and it didn't matter to me. She was absolutely way too cute to resist. And I absolutely fell off my feet. And so I realized at that moment in my life that, you know, if I'm going to marry this girl, she's going to have to do a little bit of changing, because I wouldn't marry a girl that had that kind of character. Well, the fact of the matter was, if only I had just a little bit of humility, I could have looked in a mirror and said, and Nikki couldn't marry me either. Now, most people just aren't that humble, and I wasn't. But it was just a year or so before that, when she was 9, that she had given her life to God. She had repented of her sins and given her life over, as a child does. She struggled a lot past that point in her life, which oftentimes happens in a child's life when they are saved at a young age. And maybe this is a fault in parents. It maybe is a fault in churches. Maybe a lot of that struggling in younger kids could be avoided if parents took a more active role in the lives of their kids to guide them and help them. But anyway, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of her walk with God. But it was only a year after the 10-year-old period, when she was 11, that a change took place in her life that probably has not taken place yet in some people's lives who are sitting in this room. Something that is not too late to do, even if you're 55 years old. She all of a sudden, she heard a sermon preached by my dad talking about how a young person needs to learn things when they are young and have time. How they should put themselves into learning what they are going to use in their life later. She's 11 years old when she hears this, and she says, what do I want to do when I grow up? Well, she was a hot little girl, and she knew what she wanted to do. She wanted to get married. So she said, well, I guess if I want to get married when I grow up, I should learn to cook and sew. So that's what she set herself to do. By the time she was 13 years old, she was pretty much making supper every night for her large family. Throughout the years that I tried to date her, I had to do a lot of work because she was working. And if I went over to see her, it didn't matter what time of the day it was. She was working. It didn't matter. If it was in the morning, if it was in the afternoon, if it was in the evening, she was working. There was dishes to do. There was supper to cook. There was something to clean. There was clothes to hang up. And then there was clothes to take down. And then there was clothes to fold. And then there was clothes to put away. And the list just never ended. So I worked. I had to work if I dated her. And it was fun. But that was the time of Nikki's life where I believe God got through to her in something that was absolutely of absolute importance if you're ever going to be successful in life. If there's a girl sitting in this room who does not know how to cook proficiently, and you are over the age of 12, that should be your next job. It's very important. I did marry one of the best cooks in the world. We have a number of very good cooks in this church. I'm not trying to knock any other girl in this room, but Nikki does stand up there with some of the best people that I've ever eaten their food. I think that Nikki can cook as well as most chefs that work in any restaurant. And by the way, that is going to be one of the major jobs that you do as a wife, is cook. That's why our food is so good. Just to give you a few of the highlights of things that I remember from my years with Nikki before we got married. She got saved when she was 9. I started noticing that she was special when she was 9, and I absolutely flipped when she was 10. But I really didn't get to spend much of any time with her till she was about 14. That was about the time in our lives that we actually got to start spending a little bit of time together. So for about 4 years, I just watched and prayed and hoped and tried to see her a little bit at church, and that was about all I ever got to see her. But every once in a while, we got to do a couple fun things together. And I do remember one time when all the young people at church went to Hodeg Park for the afternoon, and I think she was 12 at that time. And that was one special afternoon for me and her. We spent the entire afternoon flirting with each other. And we had a very great time. But she was not doing very well spiritually at that time in her life. And she, at that time of her life, gave me her journal, which was enough to rip a heart out of a person for all the horrible things that she thought and felt. And she did not have a good attitude towards God. She did not understand salvation clearly at all. And because of that, she was discouraged all the time, thinking she wasn't able to please God because she was basically under the law instead of under grace. And I wanted to spend a lot of time with her. I wanted to try to help her through some of those things, but I really couldn't. For a couple of reasons, we just weren't allowed to be together. So it was a very, very hard time for me because I was worried sick about her and I basically didn't have the opportunity to see her. But it was right around that time that she also made some friends with some of the kids out in Starks, which were not Christians. And it was a very bad thing that happened in her life because she was very spiritually drugged down by that. When she was 14 was the year that she finally came to a breaking point where she gave up the world, she gave up herself, she gave up her friends, she gave up everything, and she came out for God, absolutely. She put the past behind her and she said, "It doesn't matter how bad I am. It doesn't matter how hard I struggle. I am all done with this. I am for God." And I think it was about at that age that I finally came to the realization that I was going through with how I felt about her. She was the girl for me. We had our first date when she was 14. I took her out to Dairy Queen with my brother. I told her after we ate some blizzards, I told her she could count it as a date, but she just assumed I was joking because it was, there was a number of reasons. But it was a good time. And when she was 15, April 3rd of 1999, is when we finally talked and admitted to each other our feelings and the fact that we wanted to be each other's sweetheart. July 27th of 2000, when she was 16, we were engaged. And then on February 2nd of 2002, when she was 18, we were married, and that was the best thing I ever did. It was the best thing I ever did. So that was a little bit of my history of the first 18 years we spent together before we were married. And then the fun of trying to live life together when you didn't have anything and you didn't really know anything, that was when the fun began. And it was fun. I don't mean that sarcastically in any way. In 1998, Golden Harvest opened its doors on August 10th. And I thought that business was something pretty easy to do. That was how I thought. I thought, you know, we know this store. They do... can't remember anymore. I think it came out to $800 a day in sales. There's so much profit on those sales. Here's what it's going to cost to run a business. This is what we're going to pay for rent. This is what we're going to pay for electricity. The labor is going to be free for the first while. So if we could do $800 a day in sales, this would give us a very, very good wage for running this business. And we'd pay all our bills and everything would be fine. But of course, who says you can do $800 a day in sales? And God looked down from heaven and he says, "And I've got some stuff to say to you. We're going to cut that in quarters for 2 years." So I ran the store for a couple of years with Nikki's sister. We get booted from our building because the owner wants the building that we're in. We have to leave and have short notice to leave, and we have to find a new place to go, and I lose my job. All in the same 3 months' time. I was laid off from work because we were slow. There was no jobs lined up for the winter. I was working construction, and prior to that time, for the first 2 years that the store was open, I was supporting the store. That's how we floated it. I worked construction. I put money that I got from my checks into the store. I paid Alicia for working some. I paid my sister, a couple of my sisters a little bit for working. And I lived on nothing. As little as nothing could possibly be. That's what I lived on. And then I got told by my boss, you know, I have to lay you guys off. Me and my fellow employee, both of us were working. We both got laid off. There just was no work lined up. And so I told my boss at that time, I am just going to quit then. I'm going to go work at my store. And I had no reason to believe that I could do that. Besides, I just did. I just believed it. I thought that God would help me. I just believed it could be done. I'd never sat down for a day, I don't believe, with a pencil and a paper and tried to figure out where the money was going to come from. I just believed it would work. But at the same time, we got told we had to leave our current location, so we had to move the store. We went from paying $500 a month to $800 a month for a smaller space, and I didn't have a job. And at the same time, I bought Alicia's part of the store out. I offered to pay her $100 a month till her investment in the store was paid off. That's all I offered. So I had actually an increase of $400 a month in expenses and no job. And this happened just 1 year before we were married. Me and Nikki were married. So the good part about it is that spring I did go back to work again for a couple months, 2 or 3 months. And Nikki worked at the store for nothing. So that helped out immensely for those few months. But when we got married, I moved out from living with Brandon and my sister, because we three were renting a house together. And I got myself a beautiful little trailer, 8 foot by 40 foot, out in the country for $140 a month. Wasn't that sweet? We had company there. I don't know if there was 40 mice or 400. We never counted. But we did know that every single time we got home from the store at night, before we could make supper, we had to do the dishes. Because in the cupboard, every dish in the cupboard was covered with mouse turds. So we did the dishes. We did the clean dishes before we could make supper. Every single night. That might be an exaggeration, but it was something like that. We got robbed in that trailer because there was really no protection on the doors. All the guy who robbed us had to do was come up and take a knife and slit a screen and reach in and unlock the door. That was the only thing that was separating between the unlock, open the door and walk in. And we weren't there when we got robbed. That was good. But the only thing that we know for certain was stolen was Nikki's journal. It was probably the only thing in the house that looked nice at all, because it was in a nice folded notebook sitting on the end table by the bed. And it would have looked like, you know, there would be a possibility you might find money or something in that. So it was a nice notebook. So her journal and a letter that she had written to me for years while we were dating that I hadn't even had time to read yet was in that notebook, so I never got to read that letter. That was taken. That was very sad. We had no phone there. We were at the very end of the electrical line out in the boondocks. So if anybody anywhere in northern Wisconsin was going to lose power for any reason, we were first. It went off a number of times every winter. The one time it went off, it was off for 2 weeks before they got power restored to us. No big deal. We were having fun. We took blankets to the store. We rolled them out in the aisles at night, and there we slept. It was fun. We got a snowstorm out there one time that knocked trees down all over the place and took us half a day to get out. But I have very, very, very pleasant memories about that trailer because there was a girl there that made my life sweet. We would come home from the store and it was very cold in there. We didn't keep the heat very warm. And so we would turn the heat up a little bit. The warmest room of the house was the very back bedroom where we slept. It was right next to the furnace. It seemed to get most of the heat funneled into that room. So we would go back there with each a cup of tea, each a glass of water, and each a glass of juice, and each a book. And we would climb into bed at 8 o'clock at night. Those were some fun times. Shortly after that, she was pregnant, and we decided that the space was so small and the place was so crowded and so undesirable that before the baby was born, we thought maybe we should move. And, you know, some of you guys who have only gotten to know me recently, if anyone didn't know me for years, you might think that me and Nikki are just the most blessed people and we have everything we want, and we've been on the bottom of life. We were at the bottom of life for some years, actually. We decided to get cats for all the mice in the trailer before we decided to move, so we went to Brandon's farm, and we brought two kittens home. And they were just kittens when we lived out in the trailer. We don't think they ever caught a mouse, but it was very good that we had them, because when we upgraded from the trailer to the farmhouse closer to town for $350 a month, we upgraded from the little runny things to the flying things. And we had bats down in our house all the time. We don't even know where they came from, but they lived in the attic, and somehow they could get down into the house. And that one cat, Archie was his name, he was good. He was really good. A bat never lived in our house for more than a minute. I still don't know exactly how that cat caught those bats, because they would be flying through the air. The ceilings are 8 feet high. They're flying through the air, and the cat would go jump, and he'd have it. It was good. He was a very, very naughty cat, though. And besides catching bats, he liked to pee on anything, especially if he was mad at one of us. He would go into the pantry and pee on the food. He peed on my books. Very naughty cat. But he caught our bats. Going back a little bit for some story that got missed. It was also when we decided to get married. I had a black pickup that was hard on gas. And I had a Taurus wagon that I loved, but it was on its last legs. And the back window had broken out, and I didn't have money to fix it. And so I was driving around without a back window, but winter was coming on. But God took care of that problem for me, and I was heading out to church one night, and it died on the side of the road. And we had very serious reason to believe that it was serious engine problems, but we never asked because it wasn't worth fixing. So we towed the car home, and I had my pickup. But then I got Glenn Force's little old Toyota that had 300,000 miles on it that was absolutely falling apart, and I don't remember, I paid almost nothing for it, and I drove that for just a few months. But it was also having some serious problems. We think the head gasket was blown on it, but it wasn't worth checking. We were going to take it on our honeymoon, but we took it into a place to get brake work done, and they would not get under it. They said it was too rusty, and they would not work on it. So that was that. So we decided we have no money, but we're going to get married anyway. And we'll take this black pickup that likes gas, and we won't go very far. We'll probably end up just doing something around the state of Wisconsin. We'll just go for a few days on a honeymoon, and that's what it's going to have to be, because we just didn't have anything. But our church was very, very, very good to us, and a bunch of people gave us a bunch of money, and we ended up going out and buying the purple Taurus wagon, which we drove for a number of years, for $1,200, and that was the nicest car I had ever owned in my life. I like Taurus wagons, too. They were a very nice car. We drove that until when we took it to California with our family in, going up the mountains. Here we are going 40 miles an hour with the pedal on the floor, and every other car on the road is passing us at 80. I realized the car is worn out. About just before I got married, I had a crisis in my life where I realized I was not honoring God first. And you know, if there's ever anything wrong in your life, look inside. If anything isn't ever going right, look inside, because God asks things of you that if you do not obey, He is going to call you to account for it. And I was not giving to God. I was not giving to God of the first fruits. I was not giving to God the money that was His by right. The beginning. I thought I didn't have enough of it, you know. When you're just barely paying your bills, how do you give anything to God? You know, you got to have some extra before you start giving it away. The Bible says if you want some extra, give God His first. That's what the Bible says, okay? So I came to an understanding of that shortly before me and Nikki got married. And I repented. And I think that's where our car came from. And because of the gifts that we were given at our wedding, and because we were able to buy that car, we were able to actually leave for 2 weeks, and we got to go all the way down to Texas, over to Louisiana and up. We probably saw about 12 or 13 states on our trip. We stopped at caves and took rides in boats and swamp tours in Louisiana and whatever we could find to do. And we were very cheap. I mean, we stayed in $30 motels if we weren't in the back of the wagon. So we didn't spend a lot of money, but we made it a long ways and we had a good time. As good a time as a honeymoon ever is. You know what she told me on our honeymoon? She was homesick and missed her family. Oh my goodness. That was humbling. If you ever want to stay humble, get married. It's good for you. So we're back to, we moved out of the trailer now from the mice to the bats. Crystal's going to be born, and that was a story in and of itself. And when she was born, Nikki had a very, very hard labor. She was worn out to the point we almost took her to the hospital because we didn't think she was going to make it through the birth. And then she bled a lot, to the point that Susan said she normally would have taken somebody in with the amount of blood that Nikki lost when Crystal was born. And I don't know why she didn't even tell us that. And she didn't tell us we should take her in. But she gave her oxygen and gave her some very, very stringent diet restrictions. She even came back and saw her like the next morning, which she never does. Or I can't remember. She did a couple of things for Nikki that she never did because she was really worried about her. Christina was also born in that house. Nikki also bled very heavy when Christina was born. But that time, because she had bled with the previous birth, Susan was a little bit worried about it, and she was prepared, and she had a shot there that she gave her right away, and she didn't lose as much blood as she did with Crystal. But about the time Christina was born, our lives were falling apart. The store is now supporting us. We're paying $350 a month rent at our house now. We've moved. We're doing okay, but we're absolutely broke. There's no extra money, but we're doing okay. But we have Just before Christina is born, the front strut breaks on the purple Taurus. And it's not worth fixing. You can still drive it, but it makes lots of noise. So it has to get parked. Now we have a 1984 pickup also, but it's acting up. Carburetor's not very good on it. And I take it to town right around the time Christina's born, and it runs full throttle the whole way. You got to keep pushing in the clutch and letting the engine rev, or you're going to hit somebody. And I didn't have money to fix it. And we also had the blue and white van that we're still driving, but that, you know, only has two seats in it, and then it only had one and a half. And we had a family. And Nikki struggled severely after Christina's birth with severe depression. We had a very hard time. But, you know, in all these things that I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you some of the things that have happened to us, some of the bad things. We had God, and we had each other, and we were always very happy. You know, those are the two main ingredients that are going to make your marriage a good marriage. God first, and each other under God. And so in our troubles, we grew closer to each other. I don't know how that was possible, because we were so close. I mean, there was nothing in life that we'd ever not share, not talk about. We were very close already, but we grew closer. And we needed a car. So one Sunday morning, before church, I was looking on eBay for cars. I found this Taurus, this white Taurus. It's a sedan. It's not a wagon. I don't want it, but we need a car, and I need something cheap. It's in Iowa. They say the transmission isn't working right. It's not shifting right. I do not know what possessed me to believe that the car would be okay if I bought it. But I just believed it. I believed that whatever was wrong with the transmission, it wasn't serious. All right? I don't know why I believed that. But God is looking out for people who are stupid too. So before we left for church that Sunday morning, it was going to, the bid was going to close on that car before church was over. So I left a bid, and I don't remember what my bid was. It was like $1,100 or something. And I was the high bidder when we left for church. I was the high bidder at $1,050. We left for church, and I gave it to God. I said, God, if you want me to have this car, let me win it. If not, I can't really pay more money than I bid anyway. And so we got home from church, and of course the first thing I do is go to the computer and check, and I won the car at $1,025. How does that happen, that you win the bid at less than it was when you left? Well, somebody had placed a bid that apparently the seller did not like, and so they canceled their bid. So the price got dropped $25. And so we had this car we had to go to Iowa and get, and we go down to Iowa and pick it up, and sure enough, there's something wrong with the transmission. Every once in a while, you come up to a stop sign and stop, and there's nothing there. You try to go, and there's nothing there. It's just revs. And I figured out right away, all you got to do is stick it into park and put it back in the drive, and it goes. So anyway, we take the car to Jason's, and he gives it a transmission flush and puts a lube job in it, or whatever he did to it, I don't know. And that cured it after a couple more months. After that lube worked itself into the system for a couple of months, we never had another bit of trouble with it. We drove it for over a year. We sold it for $1,000, about what we paid for it. And the person we sold it to drove it for another year or two, and they sold it for $1,000, and it got, well, then it got beat up. And then we moved to town. Store's doing a little bit better now. And we moved to town to be closer to work. We've got two kids. Nikki's got her hands full. She's working more hours at the store per week than most guys work every 2 weeks. Plus, she's got two kids. And we needed to do something to help the situation a little bit. So a house across the street from the store was ideal. We were taking two cars into work every day because she couldn't get up as early as I could and get into the store with the two kids. And it just wasn't very good. So we get our house across the street from the store, and then comes Jamel. We had decided, with all the stress, the financial stress, and the trouble that we faced in life, we had decided that we were going to space the next kid out for one further year, and God decided something else. And God did not just decide that we were not going to space another year. He decided exactly what we needed was more trouble. Fancy that. Are you getting the point that God didn't think too highly of me here? You guys all know the story of Jamel. I don't have to go into that. But the couple of highlights are the fact that while we have this child born that has to get taken immediately to the hospital and is in intensive care for a couple of weeks and leaves the hospital with a $250,000 bill, and we're just barely making it as it is. Can God take care of you? Can God pay the things that you can't pay? Can God keep your marriage happy? Did you know that, as a matter of fact, most marriages that have a special needs child end? Because it is a stress that is too great. You know why marriages that end, end? Because human beings are stinkers. That's why. We get selfish, and we want, 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 and we want. And when we want all these things, and the wife isn't giving me what I want, or I'm not giving the wife what she wants, we fight. Give me what I want. I deserve more than that. I deserve a hot supper when I come home. And she screams back, you know, I've been taking care of your retarded kid all day. You begin to fight. Now, of course, that never happened with me and Nikki. But, I mean, that's the way marriages end, because people are stinkers. You don't have to be a stinker. You can be a good person. And you can take stress, and you can take bad things, and you can take them from God, and you can look to God for the answers. If there's ever anything wrong in your life, there's only one right way to react to it. You find the answer from God, and you look for the problem in yourself. If you will always do those two things, your life is bound to be successful. When you blame somebody else for what's wrong in your life and look somewhere else than God for the answer, you are headed down a road for absolute failure. So, now, for sure, now that we've got three kids, and Jamel is as hard to take care of as any two, and we're still busy, we're going to wait an extra year for the next kid. But God says, nope. You're not waiting. Because I'm the one who's going to decide it. And so Jasper comes. And you know what? When Jasper was born, there was not a single complication. Nothing went wrong. Everything was perfect. The first birth in 4 that we had, that everything was perfect. And everybody cried. Everybody's crying because we have a perfect birth. Can you believe that? I mean, that's not something to cry about. God can take care of you. God can give you everything that you want. What I am here to tell you tonight is, on Tuesday night last week, me and Nikki were sitting at a restaurant together, and she asked me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your marriage? Now, you know, she must have felt pretty good about her marriage to ask that question. Because I'm pretty sure that if she was worried about what the answer would be, she would have never asked it. But I answered her question instantly. Well, obviously, for the girl I got, it's a 10. But I said, if you're going to start talking about, you know, this thing that we have struggled with or that thing that we have struggled with. So we started discussing different things. And after discussing every little bit of trouble that would come to mind, you know, it still left the marriage at 10. Because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, talking about people who get married, says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Now, if you ever expect to get married and not have trouble in the flesh, your expectations are going to end. The fact of the matter is, me and Nikki have been through a lot together, and every last bit of it was fun when she was by my side. And the things that were really, have ever really been wrong in our marriage, wasn't our marriage, it was our relationship with God. I haven't been a perfect husband. I've been kind of a stinker at times. Nikki has been an almost perfect wife. Almost perfect. But even she is a human, and she has once in a while been a stinker. She's not hard to forgive. She's very easy to forgive. But she's been as perfect as a girl could get. When you throw her beauty into the equation, and the fun she is, and her personality, and her vibrant life, and her food, she is amazing. She's absolutely amazing. And I am here tonight to tell you guys that even though you are a sinner, and if you get married, the girl or the boy that you marry is going to be a sinner, marriage is not bad. It is very good. It can be good, in spite of trouble, in spite of the fact that you will cause yourself your own amount of trouble, if God is first in your life. Marriage can be nothing but blessing from start to finish. And I am the happiest person that you will ever meet. I am the happiest person. I went through tonight I went through the bad things that have happened in our marriage. I did not go through the good things. I could go on for another 6 hours about all the good things that have happened in our marriage, most of which I would not talk about in public. We've had a very, very, very good life together. And I am so, so excited and happy to be married to her. I would get married tomorrow, tonight. There's still time. If we were single right now, I would get married tonight. And I seriously and I honestly expect to feel this way as long as I live. But my expectation is in the Lord. My expectation is not in our marriage. It's not in Nikki. It's not in me. My expectation is in the Lord. I think that there are some people who, because you've seen so many marriages so sour and so many people fight and husbands abusing wives, I think a lot of times we fear. But you know what the Bible says to fear? The Bible says fear God. It doesn't say fear marriage. It says fear God. That's where you put your fear. If you will do that, you don't need to be afraid to get married. You don't need to be afraid about whether or not you can do it. You're not going to do it. You're going to trust in God, and God is going to do it. God is going to give you the gift that you are unworthy of. Twenty-9 years, me and Nikki have known each other. It's been 18 years I've been head over heels for her, and it's been 11 years I've been very happily married. And I thank God, and I thank Jackie and Dale. And I thank all my friends for all the support that you have given us. So let's dismiss.